What's good, everybody, and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 5th. I'm Andrea Renee, alongside the pure one, Tim Geddes.
Let's him host.
Thanks, is that the moniker we're going with these days?
People just call me whatever they want to call me. You know what I mean? The pure one was retired, but it's okay if you keep using it because, like, I don't know. Who knows? People call me Baby Blues. People call me the verified one.
I like that. The verified one. Yeah. I think that's the one we got to go with because still the only one verified on Instagram. Welcome to the show, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Of course, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, your source for nerdy video game news in the morning, each and every weekday here at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you are in our chat room watching live, we ask you to kindly help us out and keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong for all of the folks listening on podcast services around the globe and, of course, watching at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Tim, we had an incredible weekend here at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Extra Life 2018, my favorite Extra Life we've ever done, raising an amazing amount of money. We actually just this morning crossed $65,000 for the Big Beautiful Kids.
That's amazing.
There's a whole bunch of amazing clips of all the shenanigans we got into over on twitter.com/kindoffunnyvids. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not stopping. It didn't stop this weekend. Next weekend is the Kind of Funny community streams where there's going to be a bunch of different folks doing 24-hour streams. You'll be able to push there. But I said on the morning show earlier that for every $415 donated during the morning show or Games Daily, me and Cool Greg will have to do a shot of Fernet. And someone donated $415. So Cool Greg, are
Come
you ready
on
for
on.
This?
And I want to make it clear, if during Kind of Funny Games Daily, while we're live recording, and Kevin's going to be monitoring the chat, if there is an additional $415 donation while we're live, I will also do a shot with Tim.
Oh, man. Andrew Renee entering the ring. The three of us will have to do shots. This could get bad, ladies and gentlemen. If too many people are too kind, it could get bad.
You know what, though? It's all for the Big Beautiful Kids. Cheers.
This right here. Cheers.
Thank you, Blackjack.
Thank you so much to everybody who donated, whether you donated $1 or $1,000. We had some fun bongo sessions Saturday.
Way too many. Let's calm down.
Come on.
The kids
don't need that much money. I have some pretty good up-close video on my phone, Kevin, of you thoroughly enjoying yourself getting bongo.
I'm not enjoying it. It's a physical reaction to laugh when people bongo me.
But anyway, Extra Life, thank you guys in all seriousness. It's a very, very cool thing that that Extra Life has created. It's really fun to be a part of it. I'm super honored. I'm dying right now. This is disgusting.
At least you've got a coffee to chase it with.
I got my coffee. But remember, for every $415 during the show, we will do more of that disgusting, disgusting drink. But some more housekeeping that I wanted to get out of the way. Tomorrow, Greg Miller is hosting Overkill's The Walking Dead, streaming dead live, the launching of the game. And Greg's going to be there doing interviews, showing gameplay, and participating in physical challenges, which that's the part that I'm most excited
for. Who knows what that means?
There's going to be special guests and stuff, so definitely tune in. 2 p.m. Tuesday Pacific time. I said that wrong, but you know what I mean. Tuesday, 2 p.m. Pacific time. And then also, you had something to say.
Yeah, so I had the pleasure of hosting with Kind of Funny Games Daily host Jared Petty for Red Dead Radio. Oh, yeah. And that episode is now live at the Hop Blip and a Jump YouTube channel. You can go to hopblipandajump.com or you can go to youtube.com/hopblipandajump and check it out. A nice, meaty, lengthy episode because like Greg, I had some things that I didn't like, but unlike Greg, I actually did like the game. Mm. It sounds like he didn't like it at all. So we chat a lot about what I love about this game and a little bit about what I didn't. So if you guys are interested in hearing that discussion, you can check it out.
Hell yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you by Quip and Brooklinen, but we'll tell you about that later.
For now, let's get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Now, Tim, it's technically like one and a half for this first one, but I broke it out into two because there's two separate stories. But let me break it down for you. So as you guys may have known, if you caught Friday's episode of Games Daily, is that BlizzCon opening ceremonies were happening. BlizzCon itself wrapped up for this weekend, and a lot of news happened around one franchise called Diablo. A lot of people wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to be part of the show, writing about this Diablo news. So the first news story we're going to get to as news, and then I'll provide some color context as to why people are upset about it momentarily. So first up, written by Brandon Tyrell over at IGN, Diablo Immortal is a new game coming to mobile devices. Blizzard has announced this new action RPG Diablo game coming to mobile devices is a massive multiplayer spinoff that will allow a number of players to fight together with six familiar classes: Barbarian, Monk, Wizard, Crusader, Demon Hunter, and Necromancer. Diablo Immortal takes place after the events of Diablo II, Lord of Destruction, and before Diablo III, introducing new abilities, new zones, new enemies, and new dungeons to the Diablo universe. You can pre-register to be involved in the beta and receive exclusive in-game rewards by visiting Blizzard's official site. So, seems not that controversial when you just read it as some news, but man, oh man, were attendees at BlizzCon and on the internet fired up and angry, salty, I would say, even.
A lot of salt.
about this announcement, because I think that they were all clutching their pearls and hoping for a Diablo 4 announcement at BlizzCon. So, you guys may have noticed some of the reaction that happened at panels at BlizzCon itself, some of the reaction on social media throughout the weekend. Michael McWhorter over at Polygon reached out to Blizzard for an official response to all of the backlash against this announcement. And he writes, "The game's announcement trailer has racked up more than 1 million views, but it's also received more than 257,000 dislikes. Multiple threads on the Diablo series subreddit have bemoaned Diablo Immortal as a reskin of a pre-existing mobile game, calling Blizzard out of touch and equating the announcement to a slap in the face. During a BlizzCon panel, one attendee who stepped into the microphone during a Q&A session sarcastically asked whether Diablo Immortal was a delayed April Fool's Day joke. Suffice it to say, a vocal portion of the Diablo fan base is happy with Blizzard's Diablo Immortal announcement. Today, Polygon spoke with Alan Adheim, the executive producer and Blizzard co-founder, and Dan Elgren, production director, about the response to Diablo Immortal. The pair repeatedly stressed that Immortal is just one of the Diablo games currently in development at Blizzard, and they hope that fans will remain patient for future announcements. Quote, "We have said that we have multiple Diablo teams working on multiple Diablo projects, and that remains true even after releasing Diablo 3 for Nintendo Switch and announcing Diablo Immortal. We still have multiple Diablo teams working on multiple unannounced projects. Diablo is a tentpole franchise for us, and it always will be. We love it, and we hope our fans understand what we're saying when we say that." He continued, "The world is evolving, both geographically and demographically. Younger folks, now many of them, mobile is their primary gaming device. And then around the world, in many regions, it's their primary gaming device. So it's always been our aspiration to bring games to them. We've been around for 3 decades, and we've been making games on many different platforms during that time, going all the way back to Amiga and Commodore 64 to the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. So to us, this is another gaming platform. The opportunity to bring this to an all-new audience, or to bring it to players who have shifted their play patterns to mobile, and bring them all together with an authentic Diablo experience. It's super exciting for us." Elgren then chimed in and said, "Diablo Immortal was created from the ground up, from the initial get-go. For our intention was to create that Diablo experience on mobile. So the feel, the UI, and everything around this game is built with the philosophy to make the best Diablo experience we can on a mobile platform." So no surprising that they took this kind of a response, right? So I felt so bad for the developers on stage at BlizzCon being, I mean, assaulted is a little bit of aggressive of a word, but really kind of put on the spot in an unfair way. Because I'm sure they were there proud of the product that they had created and excited to announce it and unveil it to Blizzard's most dedicated fans, the people who are at BlizzCon. And to have it thrown back in their face so spectacularly, I thought was not only incredibly disrespectful and rude, but really disappointing with where the gaming community thinks that it's appropriate to communicate in, in ways that it's appropriate to communicate. How did you feel about what happened?
You know, I feel like this is a very complex and layered situation where there is no disagreement that acting like that is disrespectful and rude, and it's not the time or place to be acting that way. But I do think that there is a reason that the reaction is what it is. And again, I'm not necessarily just talking about that one dude's reaction at the panel. It's just the most the overall thing where it gets kind of hard to criticize something without being lumped in as hating on the entire thing. And I think that when you look at the BlizzCon conference and the pacing of it and the way that they made announcements, the way that they built up to this announcement, there's some issues there. And I feel like that there is a lot of valid criticism of choices that they made and the way that they went about things.
Well, Tim, one Adam Northwest wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and maybe agrees with you. He says, how did Blizzard misread its audience so poorly? Before I begin, I want to say I don't support anyone being rude to or harassing developers. Having said that, I want to focus less on that and more on the Diablo Immortal announcement itself. As someone who's been a longtime fan of Blizzard, I can't help but feel they dropped the ball hard with the Diablo announcement. At an event where the vast majority of attendees are hardcore, longtime Blizzard fans, it is confusing that Blizzard had their final announcement of the show and the only announcement for the franchise be a mobile game that's not even entirely developed by Blizzard themselves. While I have no interest in Immortal, I don't believe there's anything wrong with the game existing, but I don't think it was the time or place to announce it. I feel that if they put this announcement earlier in the show as filler or announced it alongside an actual core Diablo reveal, like a D2 remaster or a content update for D3, the reaction wouldn't have been so poor. The best comparison I can make would be to imagine if instead Fallout 4 being announced at the Bethesda E3 press conference, they announced Fallout Shelter as their final new project that year. I just can't help but feel they misread the audience severely, and while I wish people weren't so rude to Wai Cheng, it's hard for me to feel bad for Blizzard overall this weekend.
Mm-hmm. It's, again, it's layered and complicated, and just I feel like I'm almost playing devil's advocate on this, because like I am mm-hmm. firmly on the side of like treat people well, don't be an asshole, and have an understanding of the industry where just because this is happening doesn't mean the thing that you want isn't
right.
You know, Jim Sterling, Mike Bithell tweeted out, say friend of the show, tweeted out essentially saying, hey, can somebody try to get me up to speed on the different sides of this and where we're at? And a lot of people are chiming in, including Jim Sterling, who said, to make it the leading thing at BlizzCon after 6 years, to build up the crowd for it and then deflate them, it was the wrong move by them. That and Activision Blizzard have wanted to monetize Diablo for a long time, and going with the NetEase gacha MMO is a fast way to do it. To answer calls that it's just a cosmetic reskin by talking only about the cosmetic aspects is a little misleading. Maybe not Diablo 4 per se being the answer to making everyone happy, but when you have to shout, quote, do you guys not have phones at your audience? You picked the wrong time, the wrong announcement, or the wrong crowd. And I think that, while I don't agree with all of that, I think right. that last bit is the important thing. The way the announcement happened to the people, obviously based on the reaction, isn't what they were looking for. And does that make Blizzard wrong? No, absolutely right. not. But it should have been something that was understood. I feel like when you look at press conferences like EA's last year, right?
Putting I was going to bring that up. This is exactly what I was going to. I mean, I would hope that other marketing departments would have taken note of how badly that went for EA. Despite the fact that the Command and Conquer series as a whole has tons of fans. Mm-hmm. That obviously wasn't the game they were hoping for or looking for. Doesn't mean the game itself is a bad game, mm-hmm. or maybe it's just not designed for core Command and Conquer fans. Maybe it's designed to bring new fans into the franchise, but I think we can all agree that it was not the right moment.
And it reminds me a lot of Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, where this is, by and large, not the game that people are looking for. It is not the game that Pokemon fans are waiting to get their hands on. But Nintendo handled that, in my opinion, perfectly by saying, hey, this is happening this year. Don't worry. Gen 8 is next year on Switch. It's happening. We're working on it. It's going to be the next step forward for Pokemon. This is for a different audience. This, you're also going to enjoy it, but this isn't for everyone. This is their quote-unquote mobile game version, right?
Right.
And I feel like that is the correct way to go about this. I feel like Bethesda did an amazing job at E3 of just being like, hey, Fallout 76, we're doing something different. Yes, here's a Skyrim mobile game. Yes, we're doing different things with
VR.
Yes,
we're working on Elder Scrolls 6.
But
yeah.
Elder Scrolls 6 Starfield is real. They're single player games. It's what you want from us. We're giving it to you. And messaging has evolved over the last couple of years with the internet and with social media and how all of this stuff goes, where 10 years ago, let's go 13 years ago, press conferences were a very different beast. They'd happen. You would go online and look at some bloggers, some journalists recap moment to moment. You get to watch the video. Mm-hmm. Everything was put through a filter of what you got to see. As time went on, we eventually got to see live streams and people got to react together as it was happening. Now we're at a point where it's even beyond that, where we're watching live, but like things are getting clipped out and shared. And like there are so many more eyes on a press conference than ever before, because people are watching social media accounts, and even people that aren't watching live are still going to see that clip out of the guy asking a question at the panel, right?
Yeah.
You need to prepare for that sort of backlash. And it's hard, and you can't plan for everything. But I do feel like there's certain things that you should know about your consumer base.
Right. Now, and I agree that Blizzard misstepped here, for the record. I just was so upset about how terrible and how like awful the community was to the development team. Absolutely. That just like rubbed me the wrong way, because it's like, listen, you think it was their decision when to announce this, how to announce this? You think they wouldn't want to set their game up for success? Of course they do. You know, they're just doing their job. Mm-hmm. And so like to throw them under the bus for a decision that they probably had no hand in making, I thought was grossly unfair. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think that this whole thing could have been avoided, like you're saying, if they had even just threw up a piece of key art, mm-hmm. just like the logo Diablo 4, because mm-hmm. we know they're working on it. And if they had just done that, like even if it was like a 20-second teaser where it's just a long drawn out, even if it's like a slow zoom out or whatever, and then it's just the logo.
Yeah.
You know, if they had just done that and said, we know you guys are excited to hear what's next in the Diablo franchise. Rest assured, our team is hard at work. We'll have more to say on it mm-hmm. in the future. It would have been a bummer, of yeah. course, but I think it would have at least set the audience up for like, okay, I know it's coming. I know it's, you know, on its way.
Yeah. You know, it's very complicated. And to talk about the other side of this, of the entitlement of gamers and that whole conversation, that's another thing that's very nuanced. And I feel like I, in the last week, have contributed to it in a negative way with the Smash Direct, where I've been thinking about it a lot. Like, I recorded my live reactions like I often do, and a lot of the times I'm extremely positive and hyped and really excited for what they show. This was one of the examples where I wasn't happy with what I saw, and my reactions were real. They were genuine, but it reminded, seeing the reaction that people had to my reactions reminded me of the dangers of live reactions and of being mm-hmm. honest. And I don't regret being honest at all. That is how I feel, but I do regret lacking the nuance necessary to explain why I was upset in the direct. And I feel like I did a much better job on the Gamescast that just went live today. But, you know, seeing a lot of the memes in the Reddit and stuff and people like poking fun at me being disappointed, which totally fair. I love that. It's just more the way that I went about it, and especially seeing this Diablo thing happen, it really kind of, I've been reflecting on it like, oh man, I don't know if I handle that right. Like I don't think that I was clear in where I understand the entitlement to end. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think it's really great that you were able to analyze your own behavior in that way, because I think that that's indicative of a culture-wide thing, really even something that goes beyond video game culture and into mainstream social media culture. This idea that we're just constantly popping off on the internet, mm-hmm. you know, without stopping to think about what we're saying, how we're saying it, how it's going to affect the people we're saying it to, what the perception
yeah.
is going to be, most importantly.
And that's
I'm just
scary.
You know, we're all just as guilty of it, you
totally.
Know?
And the perception thing is what is the problem. Like, with great power comes great responsibility. And for me, the moment that direct ended, I have many friends that work in Nintendo, many friends working on Smash Brothers, and so many people hit me up like they always do. What'd you think? What'd you think? And I had to be honest with them, and I was. And I had a conversation like, I liked this. I really didn't like this. Here's why I didn't like this. And had that conversation. And it's like, being able to do that, that to me is the most important thing. We can't, in our positions, not be real about the mistakes that we think the developers and publishers are making. Like, that it's our job to be critical of them, right? However, it's not our job to make their lives hell. It's right. not our job to, you know, harass people and send hate towards someone for whatever reason. And I feel like this Diablo situation kind of got away from itself.
Right. Daniel from the Bronx writes in and says, good morning, Kind of Funny crew. I've been pondering over the negative reaction to Diablo Immortal and how games media personalities seem to be split and how they think the community might be going too far with expressing their displeasure with this announcement and the poor timing and place of making the announcement. I was listening to DLC this morning, and Jeff Cannata said that he attended BlizzCon and was in the audience when the people were booing, and he felt ashamed to be part of the community. While not necessarily wrong when looking at the situation, Blizzard was hyping this announcement while well, but then tried to manage expectations at the same time. However, in doing so, they probably got fans around the world to plan vacations around this event due to Diablo being their favorite franchise. And with that context, I believe they had every right to react the way they did. Sure, the game should exist if they believe in it, but that was not the time or place to announce it and hype it like they did. My question is, do you think fans should have these types of reactions when a company, to send a clear message to a company makes... Hold on here. I think what he's trying to say is, do you think fans should have these types of reaction when a company announces something like this to send a clear message to a company about their miscalculation, which in the end, I believed will help them in the long run? That's there's a lot of words missing here, but I think you guys understand. He has in parentheses here, i.e. Battlefront 2 fiasco and the Xbox One reveal. Or are the fans taking it too far? That's a difficult question to answer because I think that there's absolutely room for criticism, and there has to be, because consumers need to voice their displeasure with products, whether that's voting with your wallet or going on a forum and having a discussion. I think there's a common understanding, though, that it needs to be civil. You don't need to call names. Somebody wrote into KFGD just like with like venom in their voice. And I didn't pull it because they were so angry at Blizzard and so mad and thought that the developers deserved to be mocked to their face. And I just don't understand where that anger comes from. So like, you absolutely should voice your displeasure, but there's a way to be critical and get your message across without being hateful.
Yeah. It's complicated. I don't think that there's one answer. I think the biggest problem is, at the end of the day, it's never just one. It's not like the group that's angry and the group that's happy. It's there's within each group, there's a lot of
the nuance. Yeah,
there's nuance of different people's perspectives. And, you know, one person booing quickly turns into 100 people booing when you're in a big group like that.
Right.
And like at some point that gets scary. Right. One person kind of voicing their opinion, and then it's going to be a split group of people siding with him, not siding with him. I don't know what's okay and what's not okay. I don't know if that's necessarily something that has an answer. It might just be up to everyone's own perspective, but I do feel like the right ways to handle it are to try to not just be angry and negative, but try to critically explain what's wrong with
right
with what you saw. In a situation like this, is booing inappropriate? Because for my thing is, it's you know, mean and rude to the people on stage, but it's just their job to deliver information, and that information is stuff that people don't like.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's fair to say that, like, you can only cheer.
No, I mean, that's fair. I think booing is allowed. I remember, you know, being at the Game Awards when people booed when, you know, Kojima wasn't allowed to go on stage when he was still with Konami. Like, that was a thing, right? I think booing is allowed. I think, you know, when the kid, like, walked up to the microphone and asked the question about the April Fool's joke, trying to be snarky and funny, yeah, that to me was rude and over the line.
And you know what? And that to me, I think, is the perfect way to say it, because had he not tried to make it a joke and had not tried to make it a, hey, look at me, I'm funny,
right,
and been like asked a question that was a bit more right, like, respectful.
If he had gone up and said, hey, you know, this game announcement was clearly not something that us Diablo fans were prepared for or were looking forward to. You know, why did you guys choose to announce it the way that you did when you all knew yeah, that we were here for Diablo 4? I think that's a fair question.
Absolutely.
And that's a question that they're going to get from journalists that are on site, that they're going to get from community content creators, you know? And so that kind of a question is fair to ask at a panel, because that's what everybody wants to know. Going up there and being rude or snarky about it because you think you're being funny at the developer's expense when they're on stage, which is hard enough. How would you feel if you were on stage knowing somebody just booed your game, the game that you've been working really hard on, even though you knew that not everybody was going to like it, and then somebody just like throws it back in your face again? Like, you wouldn't like that either, you know? It's like this idea of the golden rule just has magically disappeared.
Yeah, no, that's true. And it's like, I don't know, it's so complicated.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, part of me is like, I don't care how hard you've been working on this thing. If I don't, like, if it's not what we're looking for, and like, you're literally like shoving it down our throats. Like, you're telling us this is what you're getting. you know, and like for the people that paid money to go to this event to get something. And I'm saying that from our side, like with Kind of Funny Live, it's like there's so many times we don't make announcements because we're like, this is wasting people's time. Like, this is not what they're coming here for. And we either make sure that we can make an announcement that is worth making, or we save that for a tweet.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
the hard part about that is you never know what announcements people want, because everybody wants something different. Maybe somebody's favorite part of Kind of Funny Live is the press conference, mm-hmm. you know, and like the skits and stuff are cool, but they're like, I just love Kind of Funny content so much. I want to know what's coming next.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I painstakingly survey people and ask questions and look at the feedback and see to create a show that I'm like, this is what the majority of people that are going to be there or paying to be here are going to enjoy.
Do you think Blizzard not?
I think this is a perfect example of them not doing that. Like, I don't feel like I'm crazy in saying that a Diablo mobile game is not what that crowd wanted.
Right. I mean, Blizzard is a diehard PC community company, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's where they started. That's where the bulk of their fans still to this day are, despite that Overwatch has kind of introduced more of a console, mm-hmm. You know, fan base into their community. But I'm with you that I think, you know, we agree that the announcement was misplaced. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about this all is the second item on the report.
Before you get there, I think it's important to say
yes
that being critical of the placement in a press conference or where it's announced or where it's talked about, that's one thing. The fact of the matter is, this game's probably going to be really good.
Yeah.
And people are probably going to really enjoy it. And every time that we see this type of situation happen, it's not always, but a lot of the time, people end up being surprised, or they know they don't like it so much that they're like, I'm not even going to fucking touch it. But you look at Pokemon Go, you look at Fire Emblem Heroes, you look at Super Mario Run, you look at all of the like Nintendo mobile games, and all the hardcore video gamers are like, this isn't what I want. And then so many people love the games and play the games. It's like, okay, cool. This might not be for you then.
Right.
But I feel like the problem here is they're talking to an audience that it should be for them.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Even in their response that, you know, that Mike wrote up over on Polygon, they very clearly were making Diablo Immortal for a different audience than the people who were at BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're making this for people who only play on their phones now, or maybe have never played on PC, or maybe migrated, or maybe people who haven't played Diablo. I'm like, that's great, but that's not who you're announcing it to.
Yeah.
So the announcement, though, that people were hoping for, of course, you know, king of the scoops, Jason Schreier over at Kotaku, has a source that says that Blizzard pulled the Diablo 4 announcement from BlizzCon, which led to this whole fiasco. Jason writes, Kotaku has learned Blizzard originally planned to tease Diablo 4, but pulled those plans at the last minute. The original plan for BlizzCon 2018, according to two people familiar with Blizzard's plans, was for Blizzard to announce the mobile game Diablo Immortal and then end on a video in which company co-founder Alan Adheim told the audience that a proper Diablo 4 was in development but not ready to show just yet. Instead, at last Friday's keynote, Blizzard revealed Diablo Immortal to a quiet, uncomfortable crowd and then ended the show. For most of the weekend, of course, Diablo fans raged online as a result. The reactions have been very different. Blizzard changed its BlizzCon plans for Diablo at some point in the last couple of weeks. Those people familiar with the goings on at Blizzard said, one of those people told me that the Diablo team wasn't ready to commit to an announcement, as Diablo 4 has changed drastically over the past 4 years and may continue to change further. We've heard it's gone through at least two different iterations under different directors. Blizzard said it did not immediately have comment on the story. And then he gives a little bit of context about the previous Diablo announcements, how we saw that video that was put out a little while ago with them teasing Diablo 3 on Switch, and that we have more Diablo news later to come. I think we all assumed a Diablo 4 announcement was incoming. So BlizzCon seemed like the perfect place for that. Now it's like, well, you missed the boat there. Where's it going to go? Game Awards seems too soon.
Mm-hmm.
E3 seems too far away.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like it's going to be kind of its own thing.
Yeah. I mean, all at the same time, are they too far away? I wouldn't be surprised if Diablo 4 is just announced next BlizzCon. Like, I don't think Diablo 4 is imminent, right?
No, I mean, but like the announcement, I feel like would have to come before BlizzCon 2019.
I don't think it has to. I think it could. The problem is, and like,
right,
we can't be hypocritical about this. We get mad when games are announced too early. We get mad when games aren't announced when other games are announced. It's like,
true.
There is not just like one size fits all to this, right? I feel like the decision here was probably made to at the last minute pull it because they're like, this game's not coming out anytime soon. Like, we should not get people talking because then it's just going to be Diablo 4, Diablo 4, Diablo 4 by questions all the damn time, more than it even is now, right?
Right.
So there's obviously a reason they did that if this is true. I trust Jason Schreier and his sources, so I would believe that. But my gut tells me this might not even be true because this just is a little too convenient given the situation. I feel like it's an easy out for to explain the situation. Almost like internal damage control.
Well, as someone who's been part of a major press conference, I would not put it past them to pull an asset last minute because things happen.
Totally. I get it. But I'm just saying,
like, this is probably true.
I would not be surprised if some internal people spread some things as damage control for the mobile stuff. Like, just some weird schemey shit of just, hey, at least this is positive news for them.
Right. Well, the crazy part about it is, like, we know Diablo 4 is in development. Blizzard has, you know, said as much. Mm-hmm. What kind of an appeasement do you think is necessary for people to, like, calm down about it?
No, there's no, it's out of the bottle. You can't put it back in. Like, once this happens, you just need to kind of push forward and deal with it. Because guess what? At the end of the day, this shit doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The game's going to do whatever it's going to do. This is not going to affect it at all in the slightest. What this is a stain on the gaming community that we're going to learn from and grow from. And I do think that it's a shitty thing that happened, but people are going to learn from it. These conversations are happening now, and hopefully in the future, it's going to create an even bigger divide between the good guys and the bad guys. Right?
Right. Know your audience, I guess, is the takeaway here. All right, number three on the Roper Report, Pokemon Go will finally track your walking distance in the background. So Allegra Frank over at Polygon wrote this up. Side note, I had the opportunity to shoot with her at Marvel's offices in New York for Women of Marvel.
Hell yeah.
It was really fun. She's lovely. And we're going to do a Polygon show cross What's Good Games mashup at some point.
Fantastic.
This is a huge relief for anyone invested in hatching eggs and collecting Pokemon Buddy Candy, both of which require logging a lot of steps. If you have a huge array of 10 kilometer eggs and you're trying to hatch, for example, now you can do it much more easily. The game can be idle or outright closed to do so. The update should make a helpful impact on your phone batteries and data plans. Adventure Sync uses the iOS Health Kit and Android Google Fit apps and will offer additional data to players about their exercise levels. Each week, the feature will provide a summary of how players have walked over the course of the week, broken down into calories and steps. That information is then sent over to Pokemon Go so that players' physical activity can have a direct effect on the mobile game. They'll also unlock rewards based on how much they've moved through the 7-day period. Niantic CEO John Hank wrote in a blog post that Adventure Sync won't be exclusive to Pokemon Go. It's a real-world platform that the company plans to integrate into its other projects as well. Now, I thought this was interesting. He says 47% of trainers indicated that they felt their physical activity level had increased since playing, and the number of players and the same number felt that playing Pokemon Go helped them connect with others. This type of response from the community reinforces our commitment to not only create innovative real-world games, but also to invest in features like Adventure Sync, which provide a gentle but effective motivation loop that encourages people to get outside and be active every day. Adventure Sync is expected to launch sometime in the coming weeks. Please don't stop walking around with Pokemon Go as you wait for the feature, though. Keep that physical activity up.
Yeah.
This is good news for people who are prepping for Pokemon Let's Go
Pikachu and Eevee.
Are you back at it?
Back at Pokemon Go? No. I personally am making a effort to not import Pokemon Go characters in the game. I want to catch them all in the game.
Okay.
But that's a me thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know Goldfire was like day one going to have everything, but I'm like, that takes away a lot of the fun for
right.
me.
But right? what if you get into the game and you realize that you were wrong?
About what?
That you want to actually import your Pokemon.
No, that won't happen.
Okay.
I know me. That won't happen. Because there's only 150 Pokemon in Gen 1. That's nothing. Like, you can catch those in days and be done.
Okay, like, so you want to draw out the experience.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or at least make it worth it.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, hopefully you guys are excited about this and you're out there catching your pocket monsters. And but you know, it's not time yet for Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu, Tim. Mm-mm. But if people wanted to find out what it is time for, in the mom and grop shops. Where could they go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. Out today, just two games. Moonlighter on Switch and Skytime on PS4 and Switch. Also, new dates? I got nothing. It's just a slow Monday, everybody.
It's a slow Monday.
Deals of the day? Also nothing. Mm. Nobody wrote in. I checked Wario's feed. He's got a couple things there.
Go check out Wario.
Yeah, nothing that was really like blowing my skirt up, though. So, I think it's time, though, Tim, to transition into reader mail.
Yes, it is. But you know what that means?
What?
This episode is brought to you by Brook Linen. Let me tell you about this. BrookLinen.com. They're named the winner of Best of Online Betting category by Good Housekeeping. And I trust them. I trust them a lot. I use Brook Linen. You use Brook Linen. Is that correct?
I haven't gotten my sheets yet because the one that I want is always out of stock.
See, they're popular, man.
And every time I think about it, I go back, out of stock again.
So many options. There's so many options, so many different colors. I love mine. Gia loves them as well. Greg and Jen, they have theirs. They sleep on them every day. That's right. Brook Linen is the fastest growing betting brand in the world. Over 20,000 five-star reviews. The thing is, it reminds me of being in a fancy hotel. Every day of my life.
Isn't that the best feeling?
It really is. Founded in early 2014 by husband and wife Vicky and Rich Fulop and their dog Ducks. Oh, nope. It's pronounced Dukes. The dog Dukes, but it's spelled D-U-X. Their mission is to bring five-star hotel quality sheets to your everyday life. And I say that they have nailed that. Brook Linen sheets are the best. They're the most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. That is a fact. BrookLinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just to our listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at BrookLinen.com. Brook Linen is so sure that you'll love your new sheets, and they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to go use promo code GAMES at BrookLinen.com. That's BrookLinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brook Linen. These really are the best sheets ever. Guess what, Andrea?
What's up, Tim?
We're also sponsored by Quip. Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. Fashion, function, it's where they meet. You know I'm all about that. Sensitive sonic vibrations, gentle enough on your sensitive gums. People brush too hard, creating a lot of issues.
It's true.
Quip tries to help you with that.
And they got those nice little like silicone nubs on the sides.
Mm-hmm, you need those nubs. A built-in two-minute timer pushes every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, helping guide a full and even clean, because up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly.
Gross.
So you know, 30 seconds, you know, angles. It's a whole thing. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. Now, this is great because for my entire life, I probably use my toothbrush way too long before getting another one.
I feel like that's a universal dude problem.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Just dudes, huh?
I'm not saying women don't do it too, but for some reason,
you know what dude doesn't do that anymore?
You.
Nick Scarpino.
See, I was hoping it was going
to
be.
I need to get on this, honestly. I'm probably going to do it later today. Nick's been loving Quip. It has helped him a lot because
I just
he has
got my refill in the mail. It's nice. Got the toothpaste with it, which is nice and minty.
Ooh, I love mint. Big fan of mint. That's why Andrea loves Quip Mint. And this is why they're backed by 20,000 dental professionals. Over 20,000. That's a lot. It's a big number. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. Hit me with that reader mail, Andrea.
All right. As I mentioned, a lot of you wrote in about Diablo, which we covered earlier today. Mm-hmm. But this one is for you, Tim. Uh-oh. Nighthawk2202 says, this is geared more towards Tim, but Andrew would love to hear your opinion as well. Character reveal trailers for Wii U and Switch Smash Bros. Games are the same style as the reveal trailer for the new adventure mode. I'm talking Mega Man, Bowser Jr., Charizard. Mm-hmm. Charizard. Sorry, I always do that. Brittany gives me a hard time. Greninja and all Switch characters. Is there a possible incorporation of those into this new adventure mode? Adventure mode is for fun and not story, but a few cinematics thrown in might be a thing, right? I'm thinking it's like a 10% chance, but there may be something. A yes, a hole in my theory is Palutena. Yeah, I'm going to screw the Little Mac and the Lucina reveal trailers.
More different styles.
Anyway, I'm excited for this adventure mode. I'm looking forward to the fun, lengthy new mode and an interesting take on the events at least. Please send a care package to Sakurai and have a great day.
Here's the thing. Game Explained, there's been a lot of Smash stuff that's come out in the last week post-direct. There's like the final build is now out in the wild for the first time since E3. Like E3 had the test build. This is the final build. So at all the different conventions that have been going at now, it is the final game, people playing with final roster and everything. So in different live streams and stuff, different menu options have been broken down, both in the Japanese version and the English version. Game Explained did a deep dive. Super awesome. You should check it out going into it all. But one of the things they found in the vault section was cinematics. And it says adventure mode cinematics. In previous games, that's been all the Subspace Emissary videos and stuff. And the way that it's worded implies that the intro video we saw during the direct is not going to be the only one. In previous iterations, we've seen trailers and story beats. So I wouldn't be surprised to see both. I don't think the trailers are going to be part of the story, especially not the Wii U ones. Maybe the Switch ones will be put in there somehow, but I also just feel like they wouldn't fit the story, but who the hell knows? I don't know. I'm excited about it though, very much. And I'm loving all the memes and remixes of the World of Light trailer. They're fantastic. One with Immigrant Song. Let's go, baby.
Oh, I haven't seen that one
yet. It's real good.
I'll have to look it up.
The one that you need to watch is they took the Smash thing and someone edited it to the Avengers Infinity War trailer.
Nice.
It's so perfect. So good.
All right. I'm gonna look for these links. A best friend wrote in and says, my question is, if you're an American citizen, 18 or older, have you voted? It doesn't matter what your political ideals are. Go out and vote, especially if you have mail-in ballots. Do your homework on what you're voting for, too. This is a privilege the United States gives you, so go exercise it. Mm-hmm. If you don't vote, do us all a favor and don't give your opinion on what happens. You had a say, and you threw it away. Thank you. That's a great reminder that, yes, early voting is still happening in many states. Official election day is tomorrow, of course. In many states also require your employer to give you time off to vote. In some states, paid time off. And so really make sure you know where your polling place is. There are so many resources online for that. I have had Vote November 6 as my Twitter name for the last month now. It's super important for everybody to get involved in the democratic process, mm-hmm. no matter who you're voting for. Just get out there and make your voice heard from the polls. Okay. Evan from Montreal. I'm calling it now. Borderlands 3 announcement at the VGAs this year. What are your predictions or what are you... predictions? That's not it. Predictions or hopeful for? Man, I've been waiting for a Borderlands 3 announcement for a long time.
Like it's a safe bet to predict Borderlands 3 at every major video game event.
Literally.
At some point, it's going to happen. It's just it's a weird one, man. I don't know. I'm actually getting really, really, really hyped for Game Awards. Like Jeff Keighley has been killing the hype game on Twitter with all the GIFs and the teases of what's the coming Game Awards. I really think this is going to be the biggest Game Awards ever for announcements. And that's saying something because we've gotten some pretty big stuff from in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got, you know, Bayonetta 3 last year.
We got The Last of Us.
Yep, that happened.
Crazy, man.
We've gotten all kinds of game reveals and gameplay. I would like to see some more new game announcements, mm-hmm. not just world premieres because of like new gameplay, because mm-hmm. obviously that's exciting as well. But like, I want some like
I think
bomb
we're gonna get some good
stuff.
I mean, my thing is my predictions for Nintendo were off. Like they announced Smash DLC in the direct. I thought that was a shoo-in for Game Awards. So
doesn't mean they don't have something up their sleeve
for Smash.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I mean, I'd be at this point pretty surprised if they announced a DLC character. I think that might be a little too early. I'd fucking love it. Like I want that, but it does really make me think that we'll see Metroid Prime. And Ooh. Whether it's the trilogy, Metroid Prime 4 announcement, or both, which I think is the most likely.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really have any other big predictions. I would hope that, you know, we would see something else from some third party developers since we are lacking a PlayStation experience this year. but I don't know what that would look like. Yeah. You know, maybe we'll get a new trailer for The Division 2 because that's coming out in March. So there's not really a big show between now and when that's out. Maybe we'll get something for Anthem as well, another big game.
I think both of those are safe bets.
Maybe a Metro Exodus trailer.
I think that's safe.
Maybe
as well.
Xbox comes on stage and finally confirms a hard release date for Crackdown 3. Because it's supposed to be February 2019. Supposed to be. But we don't have an actual release date yet.
Yeah, we do.
Do we?
Yeah, I feel like I asked this question. It's February 22nd. It's the day that every game's coming out.
I feel like we did this last time. Please give me a kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Yeah, it's because I remember it's Crackdown. It was Days Gone. It's Anthem.
I thought for sure it was just February.
Metro. Exodus.
Yeah, no, it just says February 2019. If you guys find an exact release date on the internet, please, you're wrong it to us. But I was hoping, because like I was worried that because they haven't picked a date and we're getting pretty close to February now, that they were going to push it again. That this game is really just never coming out.
I mean, that's the thing. Is this game coming out? Now, the more interesting thing is this weekend.
XO18.
We're going to be covering it. We're doing live reactions here. What are you up to on Saturday? If you want to come by.
What's Good Games is in town.
Okay.
We're shooting. But maybe if we have a break
in
our
schedule.
If you're
not shooting, you guys can all come and do it here. It'd be fun.
We could come by and say hi. It could be great. But yeah, there'll be some good things, I think.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get a Red Dead Online reveal or announcement?
Oh, no.
I know they were supposed to be in beta ahead of the Game Awards. November was like the proposed idea of when that beta was going live, but we haven't heard anything from Rockstar about like a specific date. Maybe they'll do a trailer there.
They've kind of proven that they don't give a fuck about other people. They're like, they're just going to do their own thing.
That's true. They don't need to, right? Yeah. But it doesn't mean that they wouldn't.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. You know, we always say that, and they never do.
Well, listen, we're just making some fun predictions.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry, there's some of your wrongs that I want to bring in because it's topical.
Okay.
Capitalist Pig says Crackdown has not been given an official release date beyond February 2019. Trust me, I've looked each time, at least three. This date gets mentioned. But then Ear Gamer says at first on February 22nd, it was supposed to be Crackdown 3, Days Gone, Metro Exodus, and Anthem. Days Gone has been pushed back and Crackdown has changed to February, but no one mentioned, like, it wasn't an official like thing. Interesting.
I could have sworn. See, I don't recall them ever nailing down February 22nd as a date anywhere. And if you guys have that Xbox link,
find it for us
from
baby.
A press conference. If you know where that exists, let me know. But I always remember it being February, just blanket window. But thank you, Capitalist Pig, for checking us for the third time. Hopefully the fourth time. We don't have to do it. Ashley from Brighton writes in, I've been excited for Dreams since the announcement in 2013. Also when the PS4 was announced. But it looks like it may not even launch for the PS4. Is it okay for games to be teased so early and not released? Does it hurt sales? I know my interest in a game can only last so long, and I was hyped for the long-awaited games like The Last Guardian, but didn't even buy it when it was released. Love the show and always try to watch it live.
I'm sorry, I should not be live yawning this, but Microsoft released a tweet that says Crackdown 3 is releasing on February 22nd.
Oh, they did?
But since has deleted the tweet.
Oh, snap.
There you go. Sorry.
So somebody has a screenshot of the tweet?
Game Informer wrote a whole story about it.
Okay.
And it says Microsoft has revealed today via tweet the Crackdown, and it's like the quote of the tweet.
Yeah.
But then when you click it, the tweet's gone.
Deleted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was not listening to you at all for that question.
Oh, dang it,
Tim. I'm a bad person. I'm bad.
All
I'm
right,
not used
let me...
to having the power of a computer sure. in front of
Someone
me.
Get him more Fournette.
Oh, yeah. Did anybody donate?
No.
Oh,
it's
bummer.
A lot of money, but it's for the kids.
It's true. And it's tax deductible. Don't forget. You can get a receipt from Extra Life. You give it to your tax accountant or you put it into your TurboTax. Bam. You don't pay taxes on it.
Done.
All right, here we go. Ashley. I've been excited for Dreams since the announcement in 2013. Is it okay for games to be teased so early and not released? Does it hurt sales? I know my interest in a game could only last so long. I liked The Last Guardian, but I didn't even buy it when it was released.
Damn.
I truncated it a little bit.
Yeah. Is it okay? Yes. Is it smart? No. Can it be? Sure. Like,
I mean, look at Final Fantasy, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, you know, is it to the detriment of the game? Always, really. It's like, I can't think of an example of a game that had that long of a development cycle that turned out to be as good as it could have been, as good as it was expected to be.
Well, I think I don't want to construe how long the development cycle is with how long the marketing cycle is. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's nothing wrong with having an extremely long development cycle for a game. If you think, if you take even a game like Red Dead Redemption 2 as an example, they've been working on that game, what they said, for around 8 years. But we didn't really hear about it or see anything about it until this year.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's the smart play. Even Bethesda with Fallout 4, I think, did the right thing. That game was teased for a ton of time. I remember doing rumor stories about Fallout back when I was on Machinima and doing correspondence work for Inside Gaming, and like everyone was always talking about the Fallout rumors, and that was like what, 2012?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until 2015 that they announced the game for sure existed, and then bam, 4 months later it was released.
Absolutely. And yeah, it is all about the market. It's about the expectation, because the moment you announce the game, then there's the question of, okay, but when's it coming out?
Right
And I feel like that's where the issue lies, and something like Final Fantasy 15.
Well, and
that.
I think that's where we're kind of getting into this weird space with both The Last of Us Part 2 and Death Stranding, because those games have now had a pretty long marketing cycle, and we don't know when those games are coming out.
But I think that's, you know, different though, and because I feel like Last of Us Part 2, it actually is an example of it helping the game. Like, people know what The Last of Us is, and especially it being remastered on PS4, it's like, it is a current gen title to a lot of people.
Right.
Many people played the game for the first time on PS4.
But what if it gets pushed to PS5?
It's not gonna. Like, that's the thing, is it's not.
Are you sure about that?
I guarantee it won't. And if it's also on PS5, it's gonna be playable on PS4. Will it also be on PS5? I do think so. But it will be playable on PlayStation 4. And I also don't think the game's that far away, but I do think that that's the type of thing Sony does such a good job of. Here's what you get now, here's what you're going to get soon, and here's what you're going to get later, you know? And I feel like now it's not biting them in the ass, but they can't do something like PSX because they don't have those announcements to make yet, because those announcements are PlayStation 5.
Right.
They got to hold on to that. So it seems like we're just seeing the same games over and over and over. We've only seen Last of Us Part 2 twice now. Right? PSX, when it was revealed, and then E3. Death Stranding, on the other hand, we've seen a bazillion times, but I think that's fun. I like that there is a game that we're just continuously checking in, and who the fuck knows what that game is? You know what I mean? It's like, whereas we know Last of Us Part 2 is going to be good.
Right.
Like, if it's not good, they royally fucked up. Death Stranding is more of a, we're all here for the ride. You know what I mean?
That's fair. That game is so weird that I think people are almost want the marketing cycle to be drawn out so we can just keep getting the weirdness.
Weird fucking shit. And it's going to come out eventually, and it's either going to be a mind-blowing experience or it's going to be fucking weird.
Yeah.
Dreams, I think, is different.
Dreams is an interesting case because it's not a traditional game. I mean, obviously, Media Molecule, fantastic developer, does really amazing creative work. But the few times now that I've gotten to see lengthy demos of Dreams, every time I've walked away saying, wow, what they're doing is incredible. This is such a unique concept. The tool set that they're building for content creation from the community is like unparalleled to what we've seen in game making so far. I can't wait to see what people are going to do with this. But I don't know what this game is.
Yeah.
And I think the real trouble that Dreams is going to have is not that the game isn't going to be innovative and amazing, but that they're not going to know how to market it. Because at least with Little Big Planet, you know, you've got Sackboy kind of as like the front guy, and you can center your marketing around this cute character and this platformer, and then all of the content creation stuff is kind of like extra. But it feels like Dreams is the extra. Like, that's like the core of the gameplay here.
Dreams doesn't have a chance in hell of being a success on any front besides being the most innovative, forward-thinking game creation tool we've seen so far on a console. That's it.
It hurts me to agree with you, but like, I feel like you're going to be right.
It's going to have a group of people that love it and that play it, and there's going to be a community there. That community is not going to be big enough to like make a dent in the industry. It's going to be forgotten about
eventually. I hope you're wrong. I do.
Yeah.
Because I think the tools are much easier to use than the tools that we saw in Little Big Planet. And I think now that there are more people creating content than ever before because of the way that digital media has become accessible to so many more people, I feel like there's people out there that are flexing their creative muscles in a way that maybe they wouldn't have even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to cross my fingers that they do better, but I'm with I know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we're getting ready to wrap up here. Let me see if we have time for one more.
You want to do Saucy Biscuit?
Yeah. Saucy Biscuit writes in, says, what's good, Tim and Andrea? What do you guys think the 2019 release schedule could look like for all of the awesome Switch games coming out next year? We know what all is coming, but with no specific months or dates. Also, just for fun, what Nintendo franchise do you want to see hit the Switch if it hasn't already? Personally, I want to see the Paper Mario series come back to glory, and I'm hopeful for Golden Sun remake within the next few years. Stay groovy, Saucy Biscuit. P.S., I can't believe my boy Isaac got snuffed for a damn plant.
Oh, man. 2019 for Switch, I think, is going to be very interesting. When the Switch has only been out now for 2 years. So looking at its life cycle thus far, year one, I thought, was a real knock it out of the park. Every month, with the exception of, I think it was May, had a real like hit title that Nintendo was pushing. We had, you know, whether it was Splatoon 2 or Mario Kart or Mario Odyssey or Breath of the Wild, going on. It was just like hit, 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 hit. May had, I think, Street Fighter Anniversary Collection was like the big one that they were pushing, and that wasn't really pushed. On top of that, they had Golf Story. They had all of these like indie titles kind of supporting it and giving this foundation. And then, yeah, ending with Odyssey and Xenoblade Chronicles 2 as well were huge deals to make the Switch what it is. 2018's been interesting. I feel like it's a bit more strategic in terms of putting games out at the right time to sell the console and to grow the user base. And that's why I think it's been a little bit quieter of a year. It's been a lot of ports. It's been a lot of just kind of, here's something, mm-hmm. not like giant pushed games. Things like Mario Tennis, you know? But looking into the end of the year, we're finally getting Pokemon. We're getting Smash Brothers. Those are going to be games that are system sellers. Those are going to be games that sell on the Switch for years to come, giving us a beautiful, like, nice setup to knock it out of the park in 2019. Animal Crossing, right? We know we're starting the year off with New Super Mario Brothers Wii U Deluxe or whatever the hell they're calling it. We know we're getting Bayonetta 3 at some point. Metroid Prime 4, I think, is a safe bet to say it's 2019.
Like holiday?
Probably, yeah. Maybe, yeah, probably then, but maybe a September-ish. And then there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. We know we're getting Pokemon. We know we're getting the next generation of Pokemon. Where those all fall out, I think Mario Brothers Deluxe will be January. We know that. Animal Crossing, March to April. Yoshi, I don't remember if there was a date for that. It might have been February. But whatever. That's another one of those titles that's kind of just keeping the train going. But I do think that they're going to drop some big bombs at some point. And to keep it going, I think it's going to be more similar to the first year of consistency of first party releases.
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah, baby, let's go. Mario Maker, where you at?
I mean, you know they're working on it.
I know.
Sometime.
That's my thing.
I think we're also going to see a hardware announcement soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we are.
I think that's the 2019 that's mm-hmm. going to happen.
It's going to happen. And I'm going to be proved fucking right once and for all. Jared Petty.
All right. We, believe it or not, I went through all of the responses that are in the doc. Did not have a squad up. Went even back to some days from last week. We already did them all. So if you guys want to ask the best friends to help you in a video game, doesn't matter which platform you're on, you got to write us at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give us your username and which game you want to play and why you need help. And we will help get you squatted up. You're wrong. This is where we ask people in twitch.tv/kindoffunnygameschatroom to keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. What did we screw up today, Tim?
Let's see. Zaire says NFL skins are coming to Fortnite on November 9th.
I did see that. I almost put it in under new dates. And then I don't know why I didn't. My bad.
Ignacio Rojas says Rockstar's clearly aligned itself with PlayStation for Red Dead 2 stuff. This makes it highly unlikely that any online stuff would be on the Xbox stage. Yeah.
Oh, no, it doesn't make it unlikely. It makes it impossible.
Travis Strikes Again release date announced. This comes from Cash, but I need to click on it.
Oh, I missed a new date. Thank you.
I I think it just was announced. Let's see what it is. Taking time to load. January 18th, 2019. Travis strikes again. No more heroes. Zaire brings a couple new dates here. Sinister Assistant coming this fall exclusively for Wii U.
Who knew people were still making games for the Wii U outside of Just Dance?
Nidhogg 2 is coming to Switch on November 22nd, and Moonlighter is out today on Switch.
I did say that.
And then Lord of Pwn says the big Switch game for May 27 was Minecraft, which released on May 11th. Zyger says, Tim, you better not forget Fire Emblem. It was supposed to be 2018, but will now be 2019. That is a very, very solid point. Fire Emblem, that game could come out at any time, whether it's February, June, or October. I think it'd be one of those 3 months. But Lord of Pwn says Yoshi just has a 2019 date. And that's it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, tomorrow's host is going to be Tim and Andrea. That's
right.
Can you
prep the show once again tomorrow? Because I'm also on the morning
show.
I'm
here for you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
I can. You. Wednesday, Greg returns with ? Is Witta out again?
Oh, man. We don't know.
Who knows? Maybe he'll be here. Maybe he won't. Thursday is Greg and Jared. And Friday is Greg and Tim. Because
Not true. Another question mark there.
Yeah, because the What's Good Games team is in town. But we appreciate you guys tuning in. If at any point you want to support the show, if you drop us a subscription on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, if you want to maybe give us a follow on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, or maybe if you want to hit, you know, subscribe on podcast services or leave us a review, all of that stuff helps us out. Mm-hmm. And if you want to maybe toss us a buck, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Thanks for watching, everybody. Have a great Monday. Don't forget to vote tomorrow, Americans. It's been our pleasure to serve.